Welcome to Get You Fit Radio, the radio show that helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. And one of the things that is actually pretty healthy, but oftentimes is questioned on whether it is of good health, is coffee. Coffee is always something that is brought up as the beverage of, is it healthy or is it not? And the actual coffee bean itself does not present any risk, of course, but it is the caffeine within the coffee that could be problematic. But is caffeine good for you? And at what risk does it pose upon our health? Well, coffee is one of the world's most popular beverages. And certainly with all of the Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts popping up literally at every corner, it is a delicious and refreshing treat. Thanks to its high levels of antioxidants and beneficial nutrients, it also seems to be quite healthy. Studies show that coffee drinkers have much lower risks of several serious diseases. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today during the show. However, there is always that fine line. A little too much of anything might be too much. So, caffeine, myth or caffeine fact? Let's talk about that. It's not always easy to know the difference. Chances are you have some real misperceptions about caffeine. For starters, do you know that the most common sources of caffeine and what they are? Well, maybe the two of the most common sources are too hard to name. One of them, of course, is coffee. The second one usually is not brought up by people, but it is tea leaves. And did you know that actual caffeine and cocoa beans come from cola nuts and cocoa beans? And they come from the actual caffeine sources. But did you know that caffeine content varies from food to food? It turns out that it varies quite a bit. It not only varies by food, but it varies by serving size, the type of food, the type of beverage, and how it is prepared. The other day I was watching the History Channel, and yes, I know I'm a nerd that way, but I was fascinated by the way that they prepare caffeine beans. It's quite a process. They take the bean, they bury it under the earth, they let it dry. I mean, this is a long process. My husband and I looked at each other and thought, who was the first person to come up with this long process? But it culminated over the years. And the amount of caffeine that comes out of each cola nut and cocoa bean is going to vary based on the way that it is culminated and the way that it is nurtured. Caffeine content can range from as much as 160 milligrams in some energy drinks and as little as 4 milligrams in 1 ounce of chocolate flavored syrup. And that's one thing people don't think about. There is caffeine in chocolate. And I always sit back and look at how we parent. I've seen this happen multiple times where parents will not let their kids have soda because there's caffeine in soda. I've been looked upon and cringed at for letting my 12-year-old have coffee because there's caffeine in it. But yet other people will let their children eat bricks of chocolate at Halloween time like nobody's business. Caffeine levels are still in the candy. Caffeine is also present in over-the-counter pain relievers, cold medication, and of course, diet pills. These products can contain as little as 16 milligrams or as much as 200 milligrams of caffeine. In fact, caffeine itself is a mild painkiller and it increases the effectiveness of other pain relievers. The big one that people are very familiar with is Excedrin. Excedrin actually has 50 milligrams of caffeine in each tablet. Now, if you're not familiar with how much caffeine is too much, a standard cup of black coffee, and I'm talking about an 8-ounce home brewed cup, nothing from Starbucks that is amplified in caffeine, is going to have about 100 milligrams of caffeine. The average person is not going to necessarily feel any type of stimulation from 100 milligrams of caffeine. So by taking an Excedrin with 50 milligrams, you're not going to feel amplified or jolted with the 50 milligrams. Now, there are a lot of over-the-counter stimulants that you might see at the gas station, particularly the Vivarin or some of the products that truck drivers might use to stay awake. And those are in the 200s, 250s, 300s. If you were to take something like that, you definitely would feel the buzz, and you would feel overstimulated. And oftentimes people don't like that feeling. Oftentimes somebody that would take a product like that might feel that goosebumpy feeling, hair rising on the back of your neck feeling, overstimulated. And the same thing will happen if you overconsume coffee. A typical shot of espresso is going to have about 100 milligrams of caffeine. So caffeine myth number one, is caffeine addictive? This one has some truth to it. Depending on what you mean by addictive, caffeine is a stimulant. And it is a stimulant to the central nervous system. And regular use of caffeine does cause mild physical dependence. But caffeine does not threaten your physical, social, or economic health in a way that an addictive drug does. So there is a difference between a drug addiction and a caffeine addiction. Although I will say, after seeing your monthly spending, and if you go down and look at your checking account and see all of the dings that you might see from Starbucks, you might disagree on how addictive you are to coffee. And I'm also going to interject here that the coffee addiction that you might feel, it might not be the coffee itself. It might be the type of coffee you're drinking. It might be all the sugar that's in there. It might be all of the creamer that's in there. It might be the flavoring that's in there. So there's a difference between drinking coffee back in the 70s when it was just a plain old cup of Java in comparison to now, because the coffee that we have now is definitely more trending towards dessert. So if you were to stop taking in coffee abruptly, inevitably you will have some symptoms. But the good news is the symptoms would go away in about a day or two, especially if you consume more than 2 or 3 cups a day. Symptoms of withdrawal from caffeine include mild headache, fatigue, anxiety, irritability, and some people would even say that they have a hard time concentrating. No doubt caffeine withdrawal can make you have a few bad days. However, caffeine does not cause the severity of withdrawal of a harmful drug-seeking behaviors like a street drug or an alcohol. So for this reason, you should not think that you have this caffeine dependency or addiction. So if you're somebody that is trying to give up the coffee drinking, give up the caffeine, it's a couple days of some fatigue, it's a couple days of the headache, and you will get over it. Oftentimes people have this dependency on coffee, and if you're somebody that's trying to lose weight and your coffee is loaded with sugar and creamer and it's costing you hundreds and hundreds of calories a day, you can give it up. What you're drinking is coffee creamer. And yes, you are enjoying that element of caffeine. But like I said earlier, giving it up will take only a few days. And this is where the mind comes in. I know I used to be a huge coffee drinker, and it was one of those mindset things where I would wake up in the morning and I would need to have that coffee. So if you are somebody that feels like you need it, examine how much you're taking in and slowly start taking some of it out of the equation. So caffeine is naturally occurring substance like an alkaloid found in leaves, seeds, and fruits. In fact, there are 63 plant species worldwide that contain caffeine. Products containing caffeine, including tea, coffee, and soft drinks have been enjoyed all over the world for years and years and years. But now we have this spike of energy drinks, and we see them everywhere. One of the most well-known effects of caffeine is the ability to act as a stimulant and delay fatigue. But this can also cause insomnia in some susceptible people. Caffeine has also been known to act as a mild diuretic, which is something that people do in order to lose weight. But I have to step in here and warn you about this. When people take in these energy drinks, and this is a huge, huge misconception that people have, and I see this all the time. In fact, it's maddening to me when I see somebody walking around with an energy drink. You are going to have that stimulant. You are going to have that rise in energy. More than likely, you're going to have a crash. And this crash is going to occur specifically 2 or 3 hours after the rise in stimulant. And these energy drinks are made of a different type of caffeine. They're not coming from the cocoa bean. They're coming from one of those other plant species. And if you've ever done an energy drink, or there's other products, there's pills, specifically pre-workout ailments and supplements will give you that spike in energy. All that is doing is stimulating, and it's getting your heart rate up. It is giving you this fake fascination of burning more calories because you have an elevated heart rate. You're getting this pump at the gym. You're getting numbers on your watch and on your fitness devices that are giving you a higher calorie burn. Whether it is a true calorie burn or not is not known. And then several hours later, you're hitting that wall. What goes up must come down. And so that is the problem with the caffeine and with the caffeine supplements. So if you are somebody that is feeling addicted to that, you're much better off having a cup of coffee. All right. So as far as coffee and as far as caffeine goes, here are some other myths that you want to be careful of. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP. And I am talking about the myths and the facts and all the buzz about caffeine. All right, so here's a myth. Caffeine increases the risk of heart disease. Well, the fact is, large-scale studies have shown that caffeine consumption does not increase the risk of cardiovascular diseases and does not raise cholesterol levels or cause irregular heartbeats. In fact, a slight temporary rise in blood pressure has been observed after consumption of caffeine from people who are sensitive of it. However, this is normal. You drink a bunch of coffee, of course your blood pressure is going to go up, especially after going up a flight of stairs. But if you have normal blood pressure and you are somebody that does not take in a lot of coffee, you are not at risk of heart disease. All right, another myth. Caffeine causes cancer. Well, scientific evidence demonstrates that caffeine does not increase cancer risk. Two studies of large numbers of people in Norway and Hawaii, and an interview of 13 studies involving more than 20,000 subjects, found absolutely no relationship between regular coffee or tea consumption and a cancer risk. So that is all good news. More good news is that caffeine is of no risk to people for increased chances of osteoporosis. So put that one on the list as well. All right, so this one is a buzz, and I know this one has been around for years and years and years. So the myth: pregnant women or those trying to get pregnant should avoid caffeine. Well, this, of course, has been studied over the years, and a large number of studies have been done and looked at the effects of caffeine-containing beverages on reproductive factors. The data suggests that moderate caffeine consumption is safe for pregnant women and her unborn child. Results from studies and intake of caffeine have indicated that as long as the pregnant mother or soon-to-be pregnant mother keeps the caffeine consumption to under 200 milligrams per day, there is no correlation whatsoever that the woman would have a hard time conceiving, or there is no solid evidence that there would be any harm done to the unborn child. And I definitely specifically remember this 24 years ago when I was pregnant with my first daughter. I vividly remember taking caffeine out of my diet and struggling with that. But of course, by the time I had my fourth, I was chugging down the coffee like nobody's business. I'm just kidding. No, but I did really remember limiting it to the 200 milligrams a day, which again is two cups of coffee. All right. So big one, speaking of children, caffeine myth affects the health of children. Earlier in the show, I talked about parenting. I talked about, should we let our kids have chocolate? Should we have our kids have soda? So here's the buzz on this. Children generally have the same ability to process caffeine as adults. Studies have shown that foods and drinks containing caffeine, when taken in moderate amounts, have no detectable effects on hyperactivity or attention span of children. However, children that are sensitive to this and take in high doses may have temporary effects such as irritability, anxiety, or excitability. And this is exactly the same effects that an adult would have. And I can tell you from personal experience, if I've ever had too much coffee, that is exactly how I feel. I feel anxious, I feel irritable, and you just kind of want that to pass. So, keeping it in moderation is really the safest rule. All right, so myth, there are no positive effects of caffeine. So all of this talk about caffeine, are there any positive effects to it? Is there any reason to take it in? And here's the fact. Caffeine is well recognized as increasing both alertness, levels of attention spans, and productivity in people. A cup of coffee or tea is often recommended to counteract sleepiness, especially for those driving long distances and people who tend to resort to that middle of the day cup of coffee. So again, there is research that shows that certainly getting the right amount is going to improve your logical reasoning and also your attention span. Many caffeine-containing beverages, most notably tea and coffee, have been found to contain those antioxidants. And antioxidants appear to have many, many health benefits, especially heart health and cancer prevention. Recent studies also suggest that caffeine can be used in help treating allergic reactions. So keeping it in that range of realistic and sustainable consumption is smart. Now, this is where people drop the ball. We're tired, so we have a cup of coffee, and then we're still tired because maybe we didn't get enough sleep, or we're starting a new job and we're nervous about getting up earlier. So we decide to drink 4 cups of coffee, and that is not going to help. And so the message here is keep your levels at a decent amount. And if I were to give my piece of advice, which I'm going to do, if the medical community suggests that a pregnant woman is safe taking in 200 milligrams of coffee a day, and that is safe for her and her unborn child, in my opinion, that is a safe amount for somebody to take. If you start getting into the 400s, you're going to overstimulate yourself. That is when you're going to start getting into the crash. That's when you're going to start getting into the burn. That's when you're going to start getting that anxiety. And if you're somebody that does drink a lot of coffee and you don't feel that stimulation, that means you have crossed that line and you've taken on too much. And perhaps it is time to detox and bring it down a bit. Because if you're not feeling the effects of caffeine, then you are probably taking in too much. So caffeine, again, has its benefits, but too much can be too much. So the bottom line, after decades of research, the scientific community has not documented any firm association between moderate caffeine consumption and any health risk. Using common sense and moderation, the average person can continue to enjoy that cup of coffee, that tea, and caffeine-containing drinks. But again, moderate intake of coffee. As a reminder, a moderate intake of coffee for an adult is approximately 200 to 300 milligrams in a day. And most beverages, in fact, all of the canned beverages at the stores, even soda, you can look at the bottle and it will tell you how many milligrams of caffeine are on there. Even over-the-counter pills. I know the Sudafeds have caffeine in them. You can just glance at the bottle and see exactly how much is in there. To help you calculate what this means in terms of servings, here's some of the other beverages and products and what they contain. So instant coffee is about 75 to 200 a cup. Brewed coffee is about the same. Brewed tea is a little lower. It's about 50 to 150. Energy drinks can range between 100 to up to 400 in a glass. So you want to be very careful with that. Cola could be as low as 10 milligrams or as high as 250 a glass. Now, that's a glass. If you're going to get a big gulp somewhere, you're talking 64 ounces. So there's going to be a lot more caffeine in 64 ounces. Soft drinks are going to be between 25 and 250 a glass. And chocolate, believe it or not, could be anywhere from 5 to 50 milligrams in a chocolate bar. So keep that in mind as Halloween is around the corner. So improve your energy levels and improve your attention span, but don't go over that limit. It is a stimulant. It is caffeine, and it can overstimulate you. So enjoy that coffee, and certainly watch that budget. The statistics of the day. In 1970, the year that I was born, average cup of coffee was 59 cents. On the way here, I have to admit, I did stop at Starbucks and I got my new favorite drink. It's actually the brown sugar oat milk espresso. It's only 150 calories for the grande. And I'm sad to say that I actually spent $6.50 on my beverage here. But I'm enjoying it and I don't do it often. So with that being said, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Let's go. Make no excuses now. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. Let's go. Your time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. It's not about what you've done. It's about what you're doing.